Welcome to the Frequency 49 show. I'm Paul MacDonald, alongside Brian Davis, Gary Rutledge and James Little. Hello, gents.
Hi, Paul. Good to be back.
Good evening.
Definitely good to have you back. Fair warning, Brian's in a very, very bad mood tonight, aren't you, Brian?
Yeah, you could say that.
So, riding high on the wave of a self-confidence after last week's overtime victory against the Chicago Bears, the San Francisco 49ers headed east again into Cleveland to take on Johnny Manziel and company and were brought crashing back down to earth in embarrassing fashion with a 24-10 defeat at the hand of the now 3-10 Browns. In a game that was more like watching Invasion of the Body Snatchers, Blaine Gabbert looked like a Week 7 Colin Kaepernick, the offensive line looked more like a Looney Tunes parody, the defense looked like the Cleveland Browns, and Johnny Manziel looked like Peyton Manning before he went to Denver. Okay, that one's a bit too far, but you get the point. Gabbert tied the record for the same number of sacks you could fit in Santa's sleigh the night before Christmas, while his offensive line again showed they were about as much use as a waterproof teabag, but much less effective at keeping anything out. Defensively, the hiring of Mr. Tickle as tackling coach is looking like a monumentally bad idea, and most annoying of all, Bruce Ellington didn't suck. He still sucks, though. Brian, rant away, sir.
Well, last week I was full of optimism, full of praise, was somewhat excited about the win in Chicago, and then the Cleveland game happened. And do you know what? I kind of feel a bit betrayed, you know, really let down. And it was a bit like I wasted my Sunday evening, to be perfectly honest. We were pathetic, weren't we? We were not prepared. We were soundly beaten by what now looked to be the second worst team in the NFL, because clearly, based on that performance on Sunday night, we are the worst team in the NFL.
Yeah.
Our players let us down, our coaches let us down, and again, our owner and our GM have let us down.
It was just a mess from start to finish, wasn't it? James, what did you take from the game yesterday?
Ugh, misery, depression. Mainly, yeah, we just didn't turn up at all. I don't understand from last week to this week the difference. I just can't put my finger on what it could be. I keep thinking, oh, perhaps, yeah, you know, again, the offensive line, I was expecting it to be bad, but with how Gabbert played last week, I was thinking he'd be able to get through that like he did last week. He didn't turn up this week. None of them turned up. Jimmy Tomsula didn't look like he was motivating anyone. Any of the coaches looked like they were motivating anyone. Just didn't seem like any of them were up for it at all.
Gary, do you think with last week's game, was it that we were on a euphoria from the game overall or just from those last sort of two plays? And did that lull us all into a false sense of security about how this game would go?
I don't think so, because we've been steadily improving over the last few weeks. It just seems it's all kind of come crashing back down to earth this week. And I'm going to let you use the bleep machine early on. I think Joe Staley said it best after the game when he said we played like because that really does sum up how they did play. And it was, you know, such a bad thing to see. Like you said, yeah, it was good the end of last week, you know, finished on a high, but this is 4 or 5 weeks of progress that we've seen, you know, certainly like the offensive line making some good progress, but they've completely regressed as of yesterday.
Yeah, you win when good or great coaches coach good or great players, and we've got no good or great coaches. I don't think we've even got average coaches in the team. I don't think many of these coaches would get a job on any other NFL teams. They might struggle to get into the CFL. We've got a few decent players, maybe one or two players that could be classed as great, but it's just not good enough. And Cleveland allowed more points than any other team, except for the Saints going into this game. We scored 3 before garbage time, 3 points.
Yeah.
Scripted plays were deplorable. The O-line were pretty much worthless. The play calling was it's pitiful. The defense gave up nearly 500 yards to Cleveland. It's feeble. You know, the Browns were last in rushing. Their two running backs had career days and ran for over 230 yards. You know, how troublesome is that for our defense, which only now seems to turn up every third week or so?
Didn't they break their rushing average in the first half of the game? On their season average, they broke that in the first half against it.
Yeah, I think they did, yeah.
It's just, I don't understand the difference from last week this week, but, you know, happens, doesn't it? That's why we love the game. Ups and downs.
Players were noticeably slower yesterday. I had a couple of lads around here. Hi to Mark Lyon and hi to Graham Ross, who both came round to watch the game with me yesterday. And we were saying that Navarro Bowman especially looked slow. He looked tired. And this was early on in the game. Do you think the whole thing of having an East Coast game, then coming all the way back to the West Coast and then going all the way back out again, do you think that's had an effect? Whereas before now, under Harbour, they always stayed out in Ohio, didn't they, for back-to-back East Coast games?
Yeah, definitely. I think that was the difference. They just, the travelling must have taken it out of them, especially for Bowman. You know, out of anyone, he's normally raring to go, even if everyone around him isn't performing. So, yeah, I definitely think that was the case. And as you say, as you mentioned, with Harbaugh, the way they used to do it, I don't understand why we've changed. Okay, we've changed head coach, but it just logistically and logically makes sense to me. If you're on the East Coast, if you stay on the East Coast, I'm sure around you can be made. They've got the money.
If that's the case, it's quite shocking. I mean, these guys are professionals. They're used to commuting around, you know, the US. You know, it's 16-game season. Yes, I know it's a hard season, but, you know, to use the excuse that, you know, they had to get on two planes in 2 weeks, I think is really poor. These guys, you know, should be at the top of their conditioning, you know, certainly at this point in the season. And I don't think that's a fair excuse. I just think, you know, we came out flat and just didn't pick up from there.
That's exactly what I was going to say, Gary. I just don't think we tried. I think we gave minimal effort. We didn't look interested. I don't think one person in any sort of 49ers uniform should come out of Cleveland saying that they gave their best for the team, because they'd be lying if they did.
Definitely. They're just lackluster, completely and utterly lackluster. I don't think there's any excuse for it as well. If you'd have chose any game out of the schedule that you would have put the thing on, that we'd have gone and won, it would have been this game, and they just didn't turn up. I don't even think it would have needed full effort. Not meaning, I know we lost to the Browns, not meaning to sound disrespectful to them. They beat us well. But I think if we'd have performed to the, I mean, Deepak mentioned the potential in our team. And I know what he means, but I don't know what he's seen that gives him the indication that there's potential. You've got to see something. And yesterday, again, I didn't see it from a lot of people. Even the old faithful, Boone, Staley. I mean, Staley had a poor game against the Bears. But, yeah, just the people that you'd rely on, even if the people, again, Bowman, people around them aren't performing, you'd expect that to have an impact. And that didn't even look like the case. The leaders weren't leading. There was nobody.
All I can say is I'm glad I wasn't here for last week's preview show, because I think I would have joined the rest of you and said, you know, been filled with hope. And I think we talked about, you know, a 3-4 touchdown win. So I'm glad that I wasn't part of that and don't have to face that embarrassment this week.
Yeah, thanks for that.
Definitely did drink the Kool-Aid, didn't
we? I just think that if you can't do it against the Browns, you're never going to do it, are you? Let's face it, you know. How bad do we have to be? Well, we showed that on Sunday night. It was just awful. And for me now, I think as long as Jed or the York family are pulling the strings in Santa Clara, I have little to zero faith in them ever returning this franchise to its once proud state. And Jed doesn't care about us. You know, his post-Bears games tweet showed that. He's rich. He doesn't care. There's no pride left in the 49ers franchise anymore from top to bottom. And that's come from Jed York, from his post-Chicago tweet, to him and Trent Baalke hiding in their offices in Santa Clara, to the players who didn't show up on Sunday night.
Looking around the various groups and the Niner Empire and Facebook groups over the last sort of 12 to 14 hours, there's no sort of consensus on what caused this. Some people are blaming the O-line. Some people are blaming Gabbert and want him removed now. Who we're going to put in instead of Gabbert, I don't know. Maybe Kermit the Frog, who knows? Some people are calling for the coaches to be sacked. People are blaming absolutely everybody. There's no root cause of this. Looking at the stats, third down efficiency yesterday, again, was pitiful. 2 of 13 and only one trip into the red zone again. It's just not good enough for any team, that is it, never mind the 49ers. You'd expect Jacksonville to do better than that on their worst day. Jacksonville had a great day yesterday, but we're not going to talk about that. But you don't expect that from any team in the NFL.
No, you don't. But I think to start saying, you know, get rid of Gabbert is throwing the baby out with the bathwater. Last week, 2 weeks ago, we were saying he was a saviour. You know, he is the real American after all. You know, he's had a bad game. You know, we've got to accept that the whole team had a bad game. This wasn't all on Gabbert. You know, 9 sacks isn't, you know, just down to Gabbert. That's down to a poor offensive line and a lot of other deficiencies across the whole team. So we need to go back to the drawing board. You know, we've got the chance now to face the Bengals at home. They haven't got Andy Dalton, and we've got to just, you know, start again and try and at least get some positives out of that game.
I think the emphasis going into the game was, okay, on the back of Gabbert's performance, there was a lot of pressure on him, but you've just got to look at, well, they were the worst defence against a run. Okay, we haven't got our first choice running back at all, but Drone has shown, well, had shown enough to be of an impact. And that, it just wasn't coming off at all. I mean, whether that was entirely down to the offensive line or whether he also had a bad game with the rest of the team and the coaches and the play callers.
Yeah, let's be clear. The 49ers firing Jeep Crist or Jim Tonsula today or this week, it changes nothing, really, for the rest of the season, because we pretty much are the worst team in the league, and nobody internally is going to come and get the best out of this O-line or Blaine Gabbert or the defence that, like I said just now, you know, they seem to turn up at best every third week. And to touch on what we've said before, no big-name coach is going to come here and work with Jed and Trent because they couldn't organise a in a brewery. I'd be amazed if they can manage their own bodily functions, to be quite honest, some days. You know, they've both been completely hid away and anonymous all season, and it's unacceptable. And as fans, we deserve better. And we're the ones that were here before the Yorks were here, and we'll be the ones that are here after the Yorks have gone. But we're the ones that are putting all the dollars in their pockets, and it's time that we stop doing that en masse. And people need to stop going to the game. They need to stop spending in all the team stores. And if they do go, they need to stop buying food and beer, because you need to hit them where it hurts the most. And if that means it's time for some kind of revolution of the fans, then get off your asses and do it. You know, something needs to be done properly, because I don't think any of us trust anybody in that front office to make the right decisions anymore. We're on a par now with the team that we had in that kind of 2004-2005 era, which was probably just some of the worst managed sports teams of all time, let alone just in the NFL. And this is a case of history repeating itself, and that took nearly 10 years to fix. And even then, we didn't win a Super Bowl.
As always, we've had some great questions and comments in from the listeners to the Frequency 49 show. We're going to go to them now. Kiefer Meredith sent one in that I particularly piqued my interest. After the loss to the Browns, I'm starting to think that Jim Tomsula's job is on the knife edge. I cannot see him coaching again next season. We can't have a coach who says yes, sir, no, sir. We need a coach that's tough and tells York and Balky what he wants to do with the team and which players he wants to have, not York and what Balky wants. First of all, we kind of said last week that Tomsula's job was already on a knife edge, didn't we? And it all kind of rested on this game. And second of all, do we really think that York and Balky would have a coach in that isn't going to say yes and no to them? He got rid of the last one.
Yeah, I think we've covered this before, and I can't see it happening. I can't see, you know, somebody like a John Gruden coming in and working with Balky and York. You know, it's horrible for Tomsula. He's come into a situation. He was on a hiding to nothing with all the players leaving and all the injuries he's had. But it's probably gone worse than anybody expected. But the question is, who else is out there that's going to come in and turn it around with the leadership we've got at the moment?
I keep hearing rumours, because Sean Payton's a Californian native, that there'll be a possibility. But I can't see him coming and being told what to do. He's had success with the Saints. Again, whether we would leave the Saints or what, but I just keep continuously seeing rumours surrounding him. Not just it's a smokescreen. They'll do what they want, and until, like you say, until Balky and Jed change or go, then it's not going to change. They'll probably, no doubt, Jim Tosu will get sacked or fired rather, and they'll promote from within. They'll probably promote Mangino, and we'll be in the same situation next season. But
yeah, well. David Young said, the fall guy for this season was ready to be brought into place before Harbaugh left. The problem is our issues lie with personnel higher up than Tomsula. We all kind of agree with that, don't we?
Yeah, he's right. And it really comes to something when the Oakland Raiders are the most functional and switched on franchise in the Bay Area, right, in terms of the NFL anyway. I was sat watching the Green Bay game last night, and it just got me thinking, like, how good would it be if that could be us, you know, just a non-profit, community-owned team that embraced their history. They're nearly always in or on the cusp of the playoffs. They're regularly winning Super Bowls. They consistently draft well. They don't overspend on free agents who aren't worth the money. And that leads me to another point that I started researching over the weekend. Trent Baalke's draft classes we've discussed for forever and ever, seemingly. But if we actually take a look at some of his free agents he's signed over the last sort of two, three seasons as well, if you look at this season, Torrey Smith, he'd be great if we had an offensive coordinator who knew what to do with him. Eric Pierce was swing and a miss. Darnell Dockett didn't even make the roster. Jerome Simpson, he's done nothing until yesterday, and that was a garbage time touchdown. Reggie Bush, complete swing and a miss. Sharice Wright, exactly the same. Absolutely useless. And then you go back to 2014. He's had a good one with Bethay, but then you look at the rest of it. Chris Cook, rubbish. Blaine Gabbert, jury's out. Jonathan Martin, you know, need I go on? Brandon Lloyd. Stevie Johnson was a half-decent pickup, but again, it was a wide receiver that it wasn't a fit for our offense because we couldn't work a way of getting these kind of explosive playmakers into our game scheme. In 2013, Bolden was a brilliant pickup. Dorsey was a decent pickup, and Scooter was kind of a bit of a bit part player, and he's gone on to do much better things in Jacksonville. And then you look at the flip side of that: Colt McCoy, Craig Dowd, Nnamdi Asomugha. Trent Baalke, he's useless. He's absolutely, you know, he hits on one or two draft picks a year. He hits on maybe one free agent every season. He needs to be sacked. We need somebody else in. He's got too many misses in both free agency and in the draft. And enough is enough.
It's frightening, isn't it, going into the off season with the amount of cap room we're going to have, and by the looks of it, high round draft picks. And if he's the one that's in charge of all that, it's just, it's just panic stations, complete and utterly.
A question in from Mark Lyon. Apparently, resale tickets for the Browns and Niners game were selling for less than face value. Would this be a point which would make Jed sit up and take notice? And how far away do you think it is from happening at a Niners home game?
I don't think it's going to make him take notice at all. I think there's too many big games in the schedule that will just make him not remember this at all. I don't think, unless there's going to be a mass walkout. But even, isn't there a case of if you've got a season ticket, you'd still pay the money anyway. Even with obviously, you still pay the money if you don't go. So
yeah.
I think the thing with the seat license as well. I think it's going to take a couple of years before that hits Jed in the pocket. He's had all the money from the seat licenses, and as you said, James, if they've already bought the season tickets, they've already got the money. They don't see any money from the resale. The only thing that could be affected is merchandising and concession sales. But again, if they're still getting a 2/3 full stadium, it's not going to hit him too much in the pocket.
Yeah, if people are stupid enough to go and pay $10, $12 for a Bud Light, then what can you do?
Steve Panda Richardson, the Browns were hyped up and played with emotion because of a new quarterback, much like we did against Atlanta when Gabbert took over for us. Back-to-back road games to the East Coast are very difficult, everyone says so. This would be why the Niners looked flatter than a pancake that had been run over by a steamroller. Somebody's trying to get in on my comedy lines, I think. We should have lost the Bears game as well. Robbie Gould doesn't miss two field goals of less than 40 yards. I think we all got carried away with expectations after an emotional and improbable win, including the players. Two big plays aren't going to suddenly turn around a season, especially not in December. It's a very good point from Steve Richardson there. And I think I've got to kind of agree with him. I was going to say the Dallas game then. The Chicago game, it wasn't spectacular, was it? It wasn't a great game. It was a very close fought game with, like we say, those two big plays at the end. Gary, you don't necessarily agree with that, do you?
No, I mean, I'll be honest, I only really saw the end of the Chicago game because I was out in the US and it was quite hard to see it. But I do think, sort of maybe looking back, it was a bit adding a bit of a polish to a turd. And we, you know, we finished a lot stronger than we were throughout the game. And that's what a lot of people have come away with. But I think, you know, the week before that, there was certainly, as I said earlier on, there were certainly signs of progress, and we have regressed now. And I don't know whether it was just one poor performance. I don't know whether travel can be blamed. I don't know whether it was just, you know, a perfect storm of badness. And hopefully we'll see a much improved performance next Sunday.
I don't buy into the fact that they were playing for a new quarterback, because Johnny Football isn't a new quarterback for them. It's his own stupidity, the reason he's left and come back. So, okay, they might have been slightly rejuvenated, but he was not necessarily a completely new quarterback. So I don't really buy into the fact that they were hyped up and full of emotion for their new quarterback. And he doesn't strike me as the motivating type. He leads by, unfortunately, he resounding beat us. He has got ability. He showed that in college. But I think he leads by, and I say cockiness, you know what I mean? You know, I don't think he motivates people particularly. So I don't buy into the fact that they were hyped up and full of emotion for Johnny Football. Let's get beyond Johnny Football. I don't buy into that.
Yeah, see, I tend to agree with Panda in some ways, because there was seemingly a lot of hype around him, and we have seen from his college tape, not so much in the NFL, of what he can do. And I do think there is a little something in that as well, that they saw us, probably looked at the game tape and thought, well, you know, that they've had two really good plays in one in the last few minutes and one in overtime, and won a game that maybe they should have lost. They're there for the take, and we're going to put in our playmaker at quarterback. We know that their defensive line isn't particularly great. We know that they struggle up against quarterbacks who can be quite, you know, they've got maneuverability around the pocket and are good on their feet. And I think that there was a bit of momentum behind that. And I do believe that there is something into what Panda's picked up on there, to be honest. And I definitely think we should have stayed out on somewhere in Youngstown, Ohio, and basically just said to the players, here's the playbook. Just get your heads in, bury your heads in this for a week, and let's win two games on the bounce and go back home and see what we can do with the rest of the season.
Another little stat for you, and not a great one at all. In the first half of the game yesterday, the Niners got 2 first downs and 48 offensive yards. The Browns got 16 first downs and 255 yards. The game was a whitewash, wasn't it? Let's face it. And a message in from Keith Fish. Hi, Keith. Alex Boone is out for the rest of the season with a torn MCL, but will not need surgery. With Boone out, rookie guard and sixth-round pick Ian Silverman is expected to replace him in the starting lineup. It just goes from bad to worse, guys, doesn't it?
Rest in peace, Blaine Gabbert.
Oh, dear. Do you think that's it for Boone? Do you think, because he's a free agent at the end of the season, isn't he?
I hope not. I do hope not. You just got to look at what's available in free agency going forward. I mean, Evan Mathis. I don't know. Personally, I haven't watched too much of Denver, but I don't think he's really set the world alight. And looking at the list of free agents available, I think we've got to re-sign Boone personally. Well, whether we go trust Balky with the draft pick to draft a guard, I'm not too sure. I don't know what your guys' opinion is on that.
Well, look at the mistake they've made in not re-signing Upati. He could have been an absolute rock for us this season. And I mentioned it 2 or 3 weeks ago now, that a lot of the sound bites that Boone's been giving after the game, in particularly the way that he's saying, I don't care if Goodell finds me, I'm going to swear and stink up the post-game press conferences, things like that. It's not been very classy, and we all know how much Jed loves class. If I was the GM, I'd re-sign him, but because there are too many holes already on that O-line. And at least he is a consistent performer. And he probably does care, which has probably prompted that reaction from him. But will he be back next season? I think it's a real 50-50 one at the minute. But if we're going to learn from our mistakes, then let's look at this season and not re-signing Upati on the O-line, and see where that's led us to this season and the absolute shower that we've had to put up with all season.
It could be a positive move from Balky to start off, to cushion us all for the draft and his rest of his free agent picks. But we've certainly got the money, haven't we? You can't put holes in an O-line that's already like a teabag.
Watching the 49ers is like watching Field of Dreams, The Green Mile or Watership Down. The amount of beer drank determines the amount that I might cry. And I think that pretty much sums up the franchise right now.
Oh, a little insight there into Brian's world. Should we mention the amount of beer drunk and the amount of beer that will be drunk, Brian? should we just gloss over that one?
Yeah, I don't think we recorded that last week, did we? I wasn't on.
I'll have a look and see if I can find it. I wouldn't put you. If we'd won the game and you'd lost the bet, I would have been gloating from here to the end of eternity.
Definitely. But,
not gloating on that one at all. But Copperberg's my drink. Right, guys, it is time for the 2-minute drill. Are we ready?
Yep.
Gary, should there be firings before the end of the season?
No, I don't think so. It's not going to achieve anything right now. I think we just got to carry on with what we've got, make the best of a bad bunch, and regroup in the off-season.
James, was this a whole team loss or down to one group of players?
Whole team. Everyone. Coaches, players, everyone. collective loss.
Ryan, should Navarro Bowman be going to the Pro Bowl?
He should get voted, but if I was Bowman, I would come up with one of those niggling little shoulder injuries or something that means he can't go, and let's have a full season of resting for him.
Gary, are we ready to give up on Gabbert?
No, not at all. As I said earlier on, he's had one bad game against two and a half good games. It's far too early yet, and we've only got three games left, so let's see him see the season out. Then we've got a decent body of work to review him on.
James, something we've kind of discussed already, but let's get your take. Should the team have stayed east, would it have made a difference?
Oh, yeah, completely. It would have just reduced the amount of time that they spent travelling. And, like, I agree with what Brian said, just let them stick the red in the player books. And, you know, perhaps some more of the players would have come off, even if they were called at bad times, etc.
Brian, if Peyton Manning's done in Denver, could he do a job for us for a year while we groom a replacement quarterback?
No. Peyton Manning is pretty much done. I'll tell you what, Peyton Manning could do a good job for us. He could come and be our offensive coordinator.
Ooh.
That's, if he could do a job for us, that's the job he could do for us.
Interesting.
Gary, yeah, can the Panthers go 19-0?
No, I don't think so. I think they're going to rest all their starters for the last game of the season, and we'll see them go 15-1 in the regular season. And then who knows after that? It's anybody's game.
James, the Raiders, will they be a force in 2017?
I hate to say it, yes, I think so. Just getting in there before the bell.
Indeed, they've had a good season, haven't they? So far, they've had a couple of hiccups, but they've got the makings of a good team there.
Yeah, Crabtree, it's painful, really painful. Can catch a ball now.
Yeah.
How can he suddenly catch? He might have got a decent quarterback throwing to him.
Somebody that apparently can't is Vernon Davis out in Denver.
Oh, that was painful, wasn't it?
That was terrible.
Oh dear.
That was absolutely terrible.
That was where he normally catches them as well. It was in his numbers. It was in his stomach. That was the stereotypical Vernon Davis catch right there, wasn't it? And he still managed to drop it.
It seems to me this season there's been a lot of terrible catches, a lot more than, well, in my memory, any other season. Mainly because a couple of them have been for us, possibly. That's why it sticks in my mind. But, yeah, us or ex-players. It's a bit of a trend going on there. Mm-hmm.
Time for the good, the bad, and the ugly, guys. We've got to try and come up with a good from that game, believe it or not. Let's go with that one first. Brian, what's your good from the game? Should I put the countdown clock on you?
I think, well, Tart got an interception. That was quite a nice play, wasn't it?
Very good play. Nice catch. Brilliant interception.
James, what's your good?
The only good I could come up with is the fact that it was a 6 p.m. UK kickoff. That was it.
I keep thinking.
So we hadn't had to stay up all night to watch that.
Yeah, exactly. Can you imagine? It'd have been a case of, we're packing in now, to a packing. No, we can do this.
Gary, what's your good?
As Brian's Nick Tart, I'm thinking I'm going to have to go for Quinton Dyle blocking that field goal. And I think the special teams as a whole, they were the only shining light of the whole game.
I was actually, sorry, another good point in Marvin, was Armstead. I was rather impressed with him. Little shining light there for me.
I'm going to go with a controversial one. My good is the performance yesterday. Because it was so bad, it's brought us back down to earth. Because I do believe that we were on a false high from the Chicago game, and this has helped us realise the team that we are. So although it was a really bad performance, I think it's good that we've been brought back down to earth. Let's go with the bads now, Brian.
Well, where do you want to start? It's hard to distinguish between what's a bad and what's an ugly, really, isn't it? Let's face it. And again, it's the same similar kind of thing week after week. If you're looking for one bad thing in particular, Gabbert sat 9 times. There's so many things. We could spend all the next hour talking about the bad and the ugly again.
Yes. We could. James, pick one of them though.
Lack of motivation, between the coaches, between the players. Just the thing that bugged me the most was going in at half time, having that first half performance, and then coming out and doing exactly the same was the most aggravating thing ever. There was, besides Tark interception and Doyle, and I say my little shine light was Armstead, there was nothing else. There was nothing else. It was just so frustrating. But lack of motivation, definitely.
Gary, what was your bad?
I'm going to have to say, seeing Navarro Bowman struggle, I think we said a few weeks ago that, you know, he was at 75 to 90% of his former self, but I think yesterday saw him sort of drop right back down, and, you know, the whole team struggled, but I hope it isn't a case of Navarro's not fit enough to get through the season and going to struggle for the last three games.
My bad offensive line. The right side of the offensive line is absolutely diabolical. As Brian said, those 9 sacks on Kaepernick. I hadn't realised until it was pointed out to me that the couple of times that Gabbert ran out of bounds behind the line of scrimmage is actually a sack. What? I didn't realise. That's what I've been told. That if the quarterback runs out of bounds behind the line of scrimmage, it's classed as a sack.
I read that today, and I was trying to work it out. And when I rewatched the highlights, that is right. And because he did scramble quite a few times, and as you said, ran out of bounds before he got back to the line of scrimmage. So
yeah, it happened at least twice, didn't it? Yeah, I don't know why he's not been told to throw the ball away in that situation.
I think it was just the pressure getting to him. I think he just realised he had to do something. He had to do it, and he just ran out. I don't think he was particularly. I know he'd done it a couple of times, but realised he was running actually behind the line of scrimmage at all.
Okay, now on to our uglies, Brian.
Just the fact that we couldn't be bothered. It doesn't get much more ugly than that, does it? The team couldn't be bothered.
Yeah. James?
The faces I was pulling when I was watching the game. Honestly.
Where's the photographs this week, or were they that bad?
It was too late. By the time I realised, I should have sent a photograph in the game. it wouldn't have been very nice viewing at all for anyone.
Gary, what about your ugly?
I'm going to say the passer rating stats. I know we've talked about that before. I know Brian's got a massive hatred for them. But to see Blaine Gabbert end up on 96.4 and Manziel end up on 92.1 shows that that stat really is an ugly stat, because it doesn't reflect how well the quarterback's played.
My ugly, Bruce Ellington, just because he's not Jarryd Hayne. Simple as that. I've said that I'm leaving him in there until they take him out of the game and replace him with Jarryd Hayne. And okay, he had a decent game yesterday. Don't care. Ugly, Bruce Ellington. Simple as that.
Kind of running out of time for Jarryd Hayne now, aren't we? 3 games left. Is he really going to get a chance now? It's not looking good, is it? Considering he started the season in the team.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he should do, because we've got nothing else to lose now.
Well, that's it. Mathematically, we're out of it. So.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, completely. Yeah, well, I mean, one of the questions in the game said, are we officially out of the playoffs now? But yeah, definitely.
Still, if you think about it, in good news, we're only a quarterback, a left tackle, left guard, centre, right guard, right tackle, a couple of wide receivers, tight end, defensive tackle, defensive end, a couple of pass rushers, an inside linebacker, a cornerback, a safety, a GM, a head coach, an offensive coordinator, and a defensive coordinator away from being a good team.
And a partridge in a pear tree. Right, that is it for this episode of the show. Thanks to Gavin and Kat for the 2-minute drill questions. Thanks to our show researcher, Mark Lyon. Thanks to audionautics.com for the music. The discussions will continue on Twitter at Frequency49 and on Facebook. Search the Frequency49 show. We'll be back later this week with a preview of the Week 15 game against the Cincinnati Bengals. Is there anyone that doesn't want to appear on that show? It's time to say goodbye, boys.
Goodbye, boys.
Goodbye, boys.
Goodbye.
On behalf of Brian, Gary and James, I've been Paul MacDonald, you've been the audience, and this has been the Frequency 49 show. Bye for now.